You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
Trey Wallace is hanging out in the Fan Run Studios for an extra hour today. We're going to try and get him. We're going to ramp him up. He's been doing 2 hours a day for the past year or so. Starting next week, he'll be doing 3 hours a day on The Drive with us. Trey, do you have anything left in the tank? Have you paced yourself? Are you going to be good for another hour or so here on The Drive?
Yeah, so we'll do the so part. But I'm good. I'm good, man. Look, 2 hours, that's easy breezy.
All right. Well, this is what we do. Look, we'll get to know Trey a little bit. We'll introduce him. This is The Drive, Trey. We do this from 3 to 6. A little bit different. You know, you're coming on 1 to 3. It's like it's after lunch. It's that period where your audience is like the people who they just got back from the late lunch. They're acting like they're working, but they're not really working. They're listening to your show.
The lethargy has definitely set in by this point.
Couple drinks at lunch.
You might be like doing the head nod at your desk.
But now 3 o'clock, this is afternoon drive.
Right.
This is a different vibe, man. We've got there's a rhythm to this. There's a pace to this that you got to keep up. But you got to pace yourself. You don't want to blow out in the first hour, man.
I've done that numerous times.
You got to be ready. 5 o'clock. That audience flips again. You're getting the folks, they're just getting off work. They weren't able to listen because they have real jobs. And so now they're driving home and they're no offense to anybody who's listening now. Now they're driving home and they want to catch up on the sports news. They want to hear a little bit of The Drive. They want to hear the boys yuck it up. It's a different ball game.
No, you've got me all excited. I didn't think you've kind of sold me on it, so it is what it is.
Yeah, you weren't sure before. Now he's like, you're making a lot of sense. He's making a lot of sense now.
This whole darn thing was good. Okay, we're fine then. I'll play along.
Oh, man.
I know. It's good to see y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hot outside.
Good. I know, man. I had a lunch meeting, and we decided to go eat out on the patio outside, And so I was like, you know what? I usually, if I'm meeting a potential advertiser or something, I'll usually, you know, I wear a nice polo shirt, maybe some slacks, something like that. You know, I'll look like somebody that you could do business with, somebody trustworthy, you know, as opposed to until they've listened to the show and learned the awful truth. But I was like, man, I'm going to a patio. I'm wearing shorts.
Okay. That's smart.
So I was wearing the shorts earlier. My legs, my pasty white legs, saw the light of day for the first time this year. That was a little awkward. Many people were blinded.
I'm surprised you didn't burst into flames.
I'm eating your lunch with
pallor and skin tone.
Yeah, my dude Chris from over at Smarter Searches and the Godfather. We're hanging out on the patio. They're drinking
beer. Whoa,
whoa. They're doing lunch beers.
Back it up.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You get to go eat lunch with the boss?
Yeah, we eat lunch together all the time.
Really?
Wow.
That's interesting.
We hang out.
I can't get him on the phone.
Yeah, I mean, he actually, I don't know about you guys, but he actually likes me, so. Yeah.
He will always answer
just
my calls.
But anyway, they're like having lunch beers. Like, oh, yeah, let's have a couple beers. I'm like, I'm not going to have a beer doing the show. I'm a trained professional.
You dry out before you get in your car by walking
out there
the
on the patio.
Lot.
But then, here's the weird thing. I'll do a little humble brag here. Ever since I lost a bunch of weight and got skinny, like too skinny, like kind of weird skinny.
Your clothes are hanging off of you now. Well,
but I get really cold. I'm always, like even today, it's 90 degrees out. If I'm inside, I'm freezing. So I got to go home and put the pants on. Now I got pants on so you don't get to see my pasty white legs. But like even now, you guys are probably a little warm.
I think it feels great. I'm starting to get a shiver though.
It's nice.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean,
like me and Cody and Trey and Houston and Reed and the other bigger guys at work here. It's nice that this room's always 61.
Sean Bradley over here.
That's nice. You taking a shot, Trey? You taking a shot? Okay.
I mean, everybody knows you look like the love child of Bob.
Hey! Oh!
Damn. Wow.
We welcome Trey to the draft. Trey, what are your thoughts on the summer of Bear?
I'm excited to see what it all entails. Some concerts we're going to. Yeah,
there's a parade later.
Right.
It's culminating in a celebration in August.
It's going to be some like tribal dances or something going on. I'm looking forward to it.
Music festival out in a field. I think Widespread's going to be playing two shows.
Yeah. I look forward to the Dead being there, hanging out, doing some things maybe you did back in the early 90s. I look forward to it.
I feel like that was a shot.
No, it wasn't a shot at all.
Early 90s?
Well, yeah, but didn't you go to like the good shows back in the early 90s?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Like,
what kind of shows was Bear going to in the early 90s?
Early 90s? God. I mean, I worked almost every show that was at the arena back then.
The Cranberries?
I saw the Cranberries on a tour.
R.I.P. Dolores O'Riordan.
Yeah, I was listening to they did some acoustic stuff. It was really good. I was listening to that the other day. I mean, I've seen Clapton probably 14 or 15 times.
That's legit.
That's your early 90s show?
Yeah.
From what did you see the Chili Peppers in the early 90s?
Oh, yeah.
R.E.M.?
Yeah, I saw R.E.M. at Stokely.
R.E.M. played at
that
Stokely.
That was my first concert in college was R.E.M. at Stokely.
GNR, they're kind of fading away at that point, right? This is the usual illusion period.
No, GNR hadn't broken. We're getting ready
to. In the early 90s?
Well, no, I thought we were talking about the R.E.M. show at Stokely. That was like an 80, fall of 87, maybe.
Well, yeah, now we're getting earlier.
OAR?
OAR is recent, dude.
Yeah, they were like
but I have seen
early 2000s, right? Or 90s? Late
90s? Mid-90s.
I don't know. I mean, I saw them about 10 or 12 years ago now. So, I mean, I saw all the arena acts of the early 90s. And then, I mean, we could start naming off shows at smaller clubs.
All right.
But, yeah, I was a music rat.
You're with the old guys now, Trey. We like to go down memory lane, reminisce.
The old dudes. It's a fun place that me and Russ take the audience
what
to.
What was it like to 90s. See the Beatles?
That's not right.
What are you doing, Trey? Come on.
You don't want to come at us.
I don't know. I would have liked to. I don't know. Must have been nice. They did play in Memphis. The Beatles, I think, in 66, somewhere. Oh, we're in Memphis now. We're going to go down to Rendezvous. Have a couple of ribs. It should be it. All right, so what did you guys talk about on the show today, Trey?
Nothing. We just got through it somehow. No, we went through the Athlon magazine. We're going through quotes from different coaches.
Yeah.
And how they were describing Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Tennessee, South Carolina, but we didn't get into the whole
Trey and I got into a little bit of Sunday, which is like the high holiday if you like super high speed motorsports.
Sunday's a
big
day.
We got the 500.
The Grand Prix of Monaco starts us off for us
this weekend.
Breakfast.
About 7 a.m.
That's a 7 a.m. start time.
You guys watch that?
Yeah.
I watched the last 50.
Who's on the pole position?
They haven't done it yet.
Can you name me three F1 drivers?
Lewis Hamilton, Kimi Raikkonen, Hamilton's teammate.
And the guy that died the other day.
Did somebody die?
Yeah, they made that movie about him. Lauda.
Niki Lauda?
Niki Lauda.
Yeah. Yeah, but he didn't die in Monaco in practice or anything.
No, he was 71.
He died a while ago?
71.
Yeah. I keep up with Formula One. Their names are really, I mean, in fairness to me, their names aren't exactly easy for me to pronounce to begin with. I'm stunned.
I don't even know what the series is. It still IRL?
No, it's just IndyCar.
It's just IndyCar now. That's the name of the series?
Yeah.
Name me three IndyCar drivers.
You got Graham Rahal, Pippa Mann. I think she made the field.
We got a female.
Dan Carpenter. IndyCar
driver. Dan Carpenter.
My dude Tony Kanaan still running.
Yep.
The young Mario Andretti's grandson.
The guy from Hendersonville, Tennessee, Newgarden.
Marco. Is it Marco Andretti? Yeah, Marco Andretti. Joseph Newgarden out of the Mid-State. He's a Nashville guy, and he races. I mean, like,
he won the 500, I think.
Let me ask you this, Bear. If you were a race car driver, you could ride in any race car series, any style of car in the world. You're just blessed.
I'm in the top equipment.
Yeah. Any series. What are you running?
I'm running Formula One.
Oh, wow.
And I want to be in either the lead Ferrari or the lead Mercedes-Benz
car.
Just
because the money
the money,
it's glamorous?
The glamour. People over here don't understand, like, It's kind of like soccer.
Are there any F1 races? Is there an F1 race in Austin, Texas?
I'm not sure. I don't follow it that close. I mean, Trey may know.
Yeah, they do.
It no, sounds
they
like I know more they about ran it the than
streets.
Either of you.
No.
They ran no. the street.
Because yeah. they were up until just recently. They were running the U.S. Grand Prix at Indy on the modified. That's where they had that big deal where all the drivers parked their cars on the first lap.
That's
and refused
true.
To run the race.
Yeah, that was pretty
because they're going to get killed.
Wow.
Well, Formula One's the fastest, Russ. It's the most. The only way I'd do it, I'd have to be 19, completely insane, with no known family.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Do you think F1 is the most dangerous?
Absolutely.
Really?
Without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt.
It seems like those guys.
Highest percentage of getting killed is in Formula One.
Is that verified? I wish Parker were here to do the.
They've had. They've
I feel,
had more,
I feel like you did. That's something no. you just said, and I'm going to go back later tonight.
Open
and actually
open
do the
wheel
research.
Open wheel racing. I'm telling you, open wheel racing is inherently significantly more dangerous.
Well, no,
than
the cars are lighter and they're going faster. Like,
and they've got an open cockpit.
Yeah,
that's the scary part.
But yeah, you might like that. That if you're looking for something this summer, Russ, on Netflix, it's called Formula. It's like 6 episodes. But it's a crazy look. Like, you don't realize how much money's in it either.
No, I love those steering wheels. It looks like a video game controller now with all
yeah,
the
much
buttons.
I mean, that thing costs probably $100,000 just a steering wheel.
An iRacing simulator?
No, like the actual steering wheel.
Oh, God, yeah.
I feel like and this is one of the problems with racing is the technology is to the point now where I know those guys are talented and it's difficult and none of us could drive those cars. Like, I get that, but it does feel like the equipment is such that it's really just a matter of who has the best stuff. And if you're in the rocket ship, like as long as you're pretty good.
There's still, Russo, the difference between your Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick's, Logano's, Keselowski's, the guys at the tippity top. Not only do you have to be in incredible equipment, you still have to have the cojones to just go ahead and push it all the way down and just hope that the car holds the line. Otherwise, you're going into a wall at like 200 miles an hour.
Yeah,
that
Bubba,
still plays
Bubba
a part
did that last year at Pocono.
Yeah.
Trey, what
went
do you
straight
think?
Straight into the wall going 198 miles an hour.
We had huge debate on the show yesterday.
Oh, gosh.
Al Unser Jr. gets pulled over for drunk driving
earlier
this week.
Yeah.
I maintain,
yeah.
And let me preface this, understand this. I'm not saying that it's okay. Drink driving is never okay, no matter who you are, no matter how good a driver you are, no matter how drunk you are. You shouldn't drink and drive.
Always Uber.
We're all in agreement, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we're all grown-ups here.
However, I will say that I believe that Al Unser Jr. is probably better at driving drunk than you or me. Just on the basis of he is a professional race car driver who has driven cars much longer than the average person.
Yeah, I agree. If it came like if it came
well, then
down
you're,
to
you're both complete.
Hold on,
complete.
Hold on. Okay. Let the man
talk.
No.
It depends on how drunk is the best way to put it.
Al like Unser's a drunk. He's Otis the Town drunk.
Okay, how about
it's
this?
Like a video game.
We'll
for
take
him.
We'll take a random person off the street. You know, normal everyday. Working Joe off the street,
yeah.
not a professional race car driver. He works out at ORNL. You know, he's comfortable living.
Plays intramural
two
soccer.
Kids, a dog, white picket fence, all that stuff. We put him and Al Unser Jr. We take him out to the local watering hole. We give them both 6 beers and 2 shots. They're pretty.
First off, that's not going to get Al Unser wound up.
Yeah, that's like a starting
that's what
kid.
That. But that's. Part of what I'm saying.
Oh, that's true.
That's
okay,
part of what I'm
okay.
saying,
no,
Bear.
What I'm saying, the reason it won't get him wound up is Al Unser's been an alcoholic for most of his adult life.
Okay,
it killed
okay.
his racing career.
Okay.
You're
we give
going with
Al
who?
Unser
yeah.
Jr. 10 beers and 4 shots. Joe Average, 6 beers and 2 shots. We both stick them behind the wheel of a car. You tell me.
At a local
who,
speedway, not on the road.
You tell me who is more likely to make it to their home 8.5 miles away.
Ow, without a doubt.
No,
make
that's all
it's complete,
quicker.
I mean, you're both complete knuckleheads on this whole thing. I mean, the
I
bottom line is this.
I think you're the knucklehead.
I think
knucklehead.
That a race car driver
I don't think you're
will
knucklehead.
Be more likely
think,
to overestimate his skill level and end up doing something dumber than the Joe Blow.
But he has reason to overestimate his skilled driver because he's a better driver.
It's a physical impossibility, Russ.
A physical impossibility? Yeah, I mean, people drive drunk home and make it all the time.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter what your skill level driving. If you're drunk, you're drunk. I think your argument is just...
Nobody's arguing.
I think it's like a game of Frogger. I honestly think that...
The more practice you have, the better you are.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but driving on city streets is not race. You know, it's not a race. It's not an Indy car.
Well, hit him on the interstate.
Again, I used
nobody else on the interstate.
Used this analogy yesterday. Trey, you played baseball growing up, probably.
Yes.
Like, you play up Little League or maybe a little bit high school. Okay. Probably haven't swung a bat in many years like me, all right?
It's been a hot minute.
You and I go down to the bar and drink 10 beers, get good and sloshed.
I'm going after one.
Going to the batting cages. And we've got Albert Pujols there with us.
Right.
And he drinks 10 beers, too. And we go in there. You and I are going to suck no matter what.
Yeah.
Albert Pujols is not going to be as good as he is sober when he's playing a game, but he's going to be much better than us.
Yeah, they had 10 more homers than we do.
You wouldn't dispute that, would you?
Yeah.
You would dispute that. You would think that if we're all drunk, that we are just as good in the batting cage as Albert Pujols.
But he's still just as liable to get hit in the head with a baseball in the cage, drunker than hell.
Now you're just arguing with the brick wall at this point.
I'm drunk.
Oh, stop.
Pip. Right off his forehead.
Stop.
You're a clown.
You're being silly at this point.
You're just a clown.
Yeah, I'm a clown. I'm a clown.
I would rather be drunk three hours a day.
Well, 3 hours a day, Trey. Well, are you sure you want to do this?
There's a mute button in my head, so we're good. I'd rather be drunk with Al Unser than I would taking batting practice with Albert Pujols.
Not me, man. You seen those pictures, Al?
Yeah, well, I'm talking about Al back in the day.
I'm talking
about Al now.
I mean, Al now is. I mean, Al even back in the day is a mean drunk.
You'd be drunk with him. I don't want to be riding in the car with him while he's drunk driving.
Watch what I can do.
Probably would not be good.
There's only one NASCAR driver, Kurt, but he wasn't legally. He'd had a couple of drinks, though, and he forgot where he was. He was in Maricopa County. Russ is where he was at when you meant. That's who. It wasn't Kyle.
Is that the one where he had his girlfriend was the sniper? She snuck out of the hotel room in New Mexico and says she killed some terrorists?
No, that's what got him fired from Roush, though.
Yeah.
Because he got mouthy with a cop.
865-546-8200, your phone number to get on the show this afternoon, 546-8200. Trey's going to hang out for an hour here with us. Of course, he's going to be moving into the drive. We're going to absorb him into the drive dysfunctional family here next week, starting Tuesday. He's going to be with us full time. And we're looking forward to having him. So go ahead and call in now. Make your presence felt. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more. It's The Drive here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
You're listening to The Drive.
So I was watching the UT baseball last night.
I couldn't bring myself to watch it.
I was sitting around and I figured out that the game was still going on, so I flipped it on like right in time for the ninth inning. And things were not going well for our heroes.
No, they weren't.
Almost. Well,
it was 5-2. Did you watch the end?
Oh, yeah, I watched it.
It's 5-2 going into the ninth, and leadoff guy comes up and smacks a bomb. I mean, right-hander pulled it left center field. I mean, well, probably about 370-foot home run.
Had to be.
And so it's 5-3, and we're in business. Next guy, I think, grounded out. So it's one out, nobody on. Next guy comes up. He gets hit by a pitch, so the tying run comes to the plate. 5-3, one out, in good shape. Vitello puts in a pinch hitter. It goes lefty-righty, brings in a left-handed hitter to face the right-handed pitcher. This kid, I think he was hitting like 222 or something for the season, and he puts a charge in one.
God, he about tied it.
I mean, this kid hits The way the pitcher reacted, it's gone.
Yep.
It's like, we are tied up. The team of destiny is going to beat these dudes. We're going to play Vanderbilt tomorrow. Guy catches it, literally with his back on
a half
the wall.
A foot from over the wall.
Yeah. I mean, it was then the next guy
after the drive, I usually take a nap after the show. You recharge my batteries.
You take a nap before you go to bed tonight?
Yeah, 6:30 to like 6:30 to 7:30, and get up and watch Jeopardy after that. I'm worn out after I get done.
What time
I mean, you think
Jeopardy
it's easy putting,
this
putting this on for you every day, Russ?
You do not take a nap after you go home for the show.
I pass out and fall asleep in the chair, and then I wake up after like an hour. I'm good to go for another four or five, 6 hours. So anyhow, I got up and I went down. I had to go to the grocery store last night, and I turned on the radio in the car, and all I heard was, you know, is it John that does the, you know, and he's, that's 5-2. And I was like, oh, God. And I just turned it off.
I mean, they gave it the old college try. So now the selection show, I guess, is on Monday, which is a little bit strange that they do that on Memorial Day. But we'll find out where we're going. Most of these, what do they call it? It's not bracketology in baseball. But it's something of
– regional tourney bids. Yeah. They're pretty much.
It looks like we're pretty good to play in the NCAA tournament. Not going to be hosting a regional or anything like that, but we're going to be in it for the first time in a long time, which is a good thing. And
probably going to Raleigh.
Raleigh's fun. Raleigh. Yeah. Raleigh's cool.
And Chris Lee, from who was on my show yesterday, he does Baseball America. He was saying either West Virginia, North Carolina are going to Raleigh. So that would be the B+.
So there you go.
Not have to travel far.
Tony Vitellico and the Baseball Vols. Rolling on.
So you've been calling him Vitellico. I've been letting you do this for a while now.
Yeah.
Now, if I mispronounce one of the coach's names, you give me hell about it.
Who have you mispronounced?
But I do it on purpose.
Oh.
You do rump?
Wait, I know the guy's name. It's the same. So we called him Dave Serronico.
Del Serronico.
And so I'm fine with Tony Vitellico. I feel
I
like
just don't think it's as good as some of the ones I've come up with.
Todd Rolico. And now we've got Vitellico, but hopefully he can carve out his own path moving forward. So I watched that last night. Did not do the NBA playoffs. I don't know why. It is just
because you don't know these teams. I've tried to tell you this. This is why nobody's
I know, I mean, I know the teams. I know the teams. I know the players.
You think it's as exciting as it would have been if it had been like a coast-to-coast series, like Boston and
no, I mean, that's
LA.
definitely part of it. It's the Raptors and the Bucks is not – it doesn't have the same –
boring.
You know. Yeah, but you're still going to get the Warriors.
But here's the thing. You say it's boring. It's boring from a team name recognition standpoint. There's nothing boring about Giannis and Kawhi Leonard going at it. It's a great series, man.
If you'd have thrown the Lakers jersey on the Bucks last night and thrown Celtics on the Raptors – and had the same game, we might have called some of these games in this series best in the NBA in a while. But because of the Raptors and the Bucks.
Well, and there's a feeling of inevitability about it. You've got the Warriors, once again, just rampaging through the West without Kevin Durant. And there's just this feeling that it's a coronation for them, and they're eventually going to win it. And they might. We'll see what happens. But for whatever reason, the ratings are just tanking right now. Nobody is watching.
Well, it's because of the darn start times, too. I mean, let's really think about it. You don't start these games till 9:30.
Okay, well,
sometimes 10.
You know, I guess from a rating standpoint, it's not going to matter much what, you know, who wins the Eastern Conference series, right? The start times will be reasonable for the finals.
People want to see Kawhi. Well, no, I think. Well, I don't really think it matters in this one. I think people will.
I think
see
people.
Giannis,
yeah, I think want people. See
whoever, it's
one.
Going to be a good series. But like you're saying, if they're going to start off in Oakland with the Warriors,
but they'll tip those games off at 6 o'clock local time. They'll tip off at 9.
Yeah, they'll tip off at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then on the weekends, we'll get the old. You know, we'll get the nice times, the 7 o'clock tip, 4 o'clock East Coast. I mean, West Coast.
So it'll be interesting to me, though. Like, will people watch? Because I'm sitting here thinking about it. It's like, yeah, you know, I'm interested to see if one of these young upstarts can take down the Warriors, particularly if Durant is going to be out for an extended period of time, as it looks like he is. But I thought that I'd be watching these other series too, and I'm just not. It's just it doesn't draw me in. So I don't know, man. We'll see. I'd be very worried if I were the NBA because this happened after Jordan left, where ratings tanked, people stopped watching, and it took them a long time to get back. And now it
does
feels
have
like
that kind of feel,
again.
Doesn't it?
It feels like it's happening.
But
again.
You got to build the next superstar, though.
Yeah, the problem is they still got their superstar, still thinks he's got 3 years left in the tank. And I don't understand. And it's not just because I'm a Lakers fan. But I'll never understand why, you know, the commissioner and the league have allowed the Lakers to sink into mediocrity again.
It's because they don't know how to run an organization.
I mean, they thought. I mean, this wasn't the way it was supposed to go. You get the best player on the Lakers. They thought that they would be right there contending this year. And, you know, they didn't think it was going to blow up the way it did.
Their whole organization's dysfunctional.
They're
That's
running
part of the
it
problem.
Like the UT athletic department.
And then Boston's just, for whatever reason,
shot
they can't get over.
A previous year's UT athletic department.
Oh, yeah.
It's gotten better over time.
They can't, Boston just can't seem to get over the hump.
No, that's when you have to wonder how much longer Brad Stevens is going to stay in Boston and not and maybe get back into the college game.
Yeah, we I heard you talking about that earlier.
We were talking about that earlier. Like, if the next blue blood opens up, North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, you know, somewhere like that, does Brad Stevens or Billy Donovan get back into the college game and take over from one of those permanent schools?
I think they'd have to be a pretty miserable failure at their respective jobs.
Yeah, but look how bad Roy Williams' health is, though.
Is it?
Maybe he passed out like three times this year on the sidelines?
Why would...
He's been doing that for years, though.
Right.
Is that...
I feel like there's just not going to be a whole lot of movement from NBA head coaches back to college. Even those guys.
Let's go to the phones, as Bear's doing. Jamie, you're up first today on The Drive. Good afternoon, Jamie. You're on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Guys, hey, Bear, I think it's worse than, as a Celtics fan, I think it's worse than not being able to get over the hump. I think that we're digressing. You know, we made the moves pointing to 2019 for years now, you know, with the draft, you know, fleecing the Nets for those draft picks, you know, stockpiling them and going out and getting a few lottery picks. It just so you know, it all the bad luck started whenever we start the time that we got those draft picks. There weren't anybody, you know, we're having to pick Marcus Smart and Jaylen out of the lottery, and you know, they made that big blockbuster move trading Isaiah Thomas and 15 players for Kyrie Irving, and he came in. He's kind of like a cancer. I mean, he's talented, top five, you know, top four point guard in the league, I'd say. But
hasn't that surprised you, like, that Kyrie Irving has turned out to be a dullard?
Like, a complete idiot? No, like, I mean, there's one in every crowd. I mean,
he always seemed to me, it had nothing to do with Duke, but it seemed to me like the year he was there, it's like he had some injury problems, but he's a pretty smart guy, goes over to LeBron, was, like, willing to play the wingman, and then all of a sudden you find out, like, there weren't any rumblings that he was dissatisfied in that role. And all of a sudden, he's like, I want out. I want to be my own man. And ever since then, I mean, he's just
been
one terrible PR move after another. Well, yeah. And looking back on it, I mean, was
– I mean, LeBron's LeBron, but, I mean, it looks like maybe the problem's with Kyrie and not LeBron.
It certainly is looking that way, Bear.
I mean, LeBron got along fine when he was down in Miami, Jamie, you know?
What's that?
You never heard those kind of rumblings about him when he was in Miami with, you know, with D Wade and Bosch and all those guys.
I think anytime you have a bunch of alphas like that on the same team, there's always going to be some tension and stuff like that. But yeah, you never heard, there was never any sort of rift. And like when LeBron went back, it was because his contract was up and he'd won a couple of rings and he was ready to go back. It wasn't like, oh, I can't stand Pat Riley and D Wade. You know, it was.
Well, no, I still think the Heat was probably the best situation he had. That was the only real team he's been on that wasn't just completely built around him.
Guys, it, you know, Russ, you bring up the term alpha. In my mind, I think a true alpha recognizes a fellow one and works together for the, you know, for the good of, you know, your career, like D Wade and was able to do, and, you know, all these other, you know, Steph Curry has been able to do. You know, they don't take it, you know, they're not intimidated. They're not threatened. But, guys, I want to get out. I'll get out of the way. I'll just say this. Russ, you're all's race car driver and drunk scenario. You know, you're not racing your car home, though, Russ. You're trying to, you know, you're stopping at red lights. You're trying to stay in between the lines. You're trying to observe traffic laws. Racers don't do that. They race. Now, a pizza driver or a cab driver having a few more. Now, that'd be an interesting argument because they drive, you know, surface roads professionally. You know, race car drivers, they're on a track, wide open. You know, it's all about aerodynamics.
Here's what we need to do. Here's what we need to do, Jamie.
Test the theory.
This is a great idea. Let's put this on TV, ESPN, the Drunk Driving Championships, the DDC, and we will take people from all walks of life. We'll take UPS drivers. We'll take pizza delivery guys. We'll take professional race car drivers, regular guys off the street.
Postmates.
We'll get them hammered. We'll get them hammered. We'll put them on a racetrack with the safer barriers and everything. We'll have professionals buckle them in. So they can't get hurt, you know, big helmets and strong cars and everything. And we'll turn them loose. See who does best. The drunk driving championship. Would you watch that? I would watch that in a second.
Shoot, yeah, I'd love it. I think we're on something, Russ. Let's brainstorm this. Hey, I'll talk to y'all later.
Volunteer Vodka.
Call my agent and get that copyrighted here.
You always do this.
The drunk driving. That's
one of your better ones.
It's got potential, actually.
That's got a lot of potential.
I would pay to watch it. I'd pay to be there.
I would pay to be in it. I would do it.
I would pay to be in it.
I think I could destroy you in that.
You can guarantee my safety.
Who at Fan Run would be the best at this?
Cody McClure. I mean, do you even have to ask twice? Like, again, my theory is the person with the most drinking experience and or driving experience is going to have the upper hand just based on practice.
I feel like you're selling some of the other members of Fan Run short.
Cody drinks more than anybody else here. He drives more than anybody else here. He would dominate.
Not saying he does it at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Usually
driving championship.
Yeah.
Write that one down. Workshop it some more.
Made my fortune right there.
I could hold it somewhere around here.
Titans Bill.
Put it at Bristol.
Titans Bill, you're on the drive. Fox Sports Knoxville. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Dubsy. How dare you, Bear, rip Tony Vitello?
Yeah, Bear. What are you doing?
I don't think I ripped him, Titans William.
Good job, Bill. I mean, Bear.
Well, I heard you say something negative about him.
What did he say, Titans Bill? Refresh your memory.
Well, he was sort of comparing him to Todd Raleigh.
No, that was Russell.
No!
That was Bear.
How could you compare Tony Vitello, who has resurrected a dormant baseball program, gotten us back into the SEC, the NCAA tournament in year number two.
Well, the SEC tournament too.
To Todd Raleigh, a guy who couldn't get the program out of its own driveway.
I mean, things is looking up for our baseball program.
Absolutely.
We got ran out of the SEC tournament last night, Bill.
Oh!
No.
You get run out. I mean, it's between
me and Bill.
Yeah, but
he's coming here swinging at me to the
regionals. We have a 38-19 record. That should put us in the regionals.
I hope so.
If we don't make it into the regionals, it tells you something right there. Politics.
You think?
Politics. Simple as that.
It's what now?
Politics.
I mean, yeah.
Is there a chance that, I mean, I don't keep up with it enough.
That was
to
what
know.
I was wondering on the
is
way
there
over.
A chance that we could just get shafted, get screwed? Because
sure. I think so.
Yeah, but most people have Tennessee as a 2 right now. It'd be different if most people had Tennessee as like a 4 seed.
38-19. I'm no mathematician, Titans Bill, but that means we've won twice as many games as we've lost.
Yeah, and we should go to the regional.
So if we don't go to the regional, how burnt are your sausages going to be, Bill?
It would burn my sausage if we don't go to the regionals. I don't believe we'll host them, but
no, not this year.
We'll go somewhere and we could surprise some people.
I think we lost that with getting swept by Auburn. Then that one, blowing the games at Arkansas wasn't very good.
What are we watching right now, Titans Bill?
I am watching the 2019 ACC Champ Tournament.
Oh, who's
Georgia
playing?
Georgia Tech and Notre Dame, it's in the...
That's so weird.
It's in the top of the third with Notre Dame leading 1-0.
Why is Notre Dame playing in the ACC? Somebody explain that to me. It makes no sense. Notre Dame is playing Georgia Tech in an ACC tournament game. That's stupid.
They should be playing...
they should be playing in the Big Ten.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, we can all agree on that for sure.
They're a Midwest school that's in with a bunch of Southern schools.
Well, that they are.
Don't make any sense, Titans, Bill. Don't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense for Rutgers, Maryland, Nebraska to be in the Big Ten.
Well, sure
it
does.
And still, there's just how many schools now in that league? Around 12 or 13, and they still call them the Big Ten.
Well, there's 14, I think, in the Big Ten now.
Yes.
There's 10 in the Big 12.
Right.
The Big Ten wanted the New York television market.
And they got it. Really good.
With Rutgers.
Yep.
And it's paying out big time, too. Like, the Big Ten, they surpassed the SEC in terms of revenue from their TV deal.
430, 436
It also
mil.
Puts, an anchor in the Northeast for them for recruiting.
Well, you also have to think, too, these networks, they're rolling out the ACC network soon.
Well, Bill, you got anything else you want me to correct you about?
Well, no, Bear.
Is that the end of the grievances?
I believe, Bear, if you're interested in somebody that wants to drive race car while they're drunk.
That was Russell.
We ought to make a race car driver out of you.
I mean, that was Russell
Fossed
again, Bill.
Up.
That was Russell again. Like you get,
yeah,
I think you get me
it
and,
on Russell.
Well, I think
it
what
on,
it is
it when, on my yeah. buddy Dubsy, Bear.
You're at your house, bro. And you keep thinking it's me saying this stuff. You're getting really mad. You pick up the phone and call, and it's your boy Russell saying it. I'm just saying. All right? You need to take it out on me. All right, Bill.
I'll tell you. Well, Bear, I'll tell you something. If you really think that you can get into a race car all sauced up, I'll support you.
All right. Bottle of vodka down for Bill.
We've got a sponsor.
All right. Thank you, Titans, Bill. The Drunk Driving Championship. We're workshopping it here. Again, we do not condone drunk driving. As a matter of fact,
the DDL 300?
Yeah, the exact opposite. We do not condone that. But if done in a controlled environment with all kinds of safety measures put into place, I think it would be interesting to have.
You have
some
to blow
sort of
over a .20, though.
I feel like that's something you're going to have to do in coordination with, like, the local police department.
State Trooper Association.
Like I said, whatever hoops we got to jump through, let's keep it safe
it
and legal.
And use it as a teaching tool.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly. I think we need stiffer drunk and driving laws.
Oh, I agree on that.
Let's keep things rolling. Let's get Westchester in here. Westchester, you're on the drive. Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, Ross. I don't know what you're doing tomorrow, but me, you, and whoever the other best salesperson you got, we're going to go down to Rent-A-Rex and get me a sponsorship for this drunk driving championship, all right?
Who's gonna be your sponsor?
Rent-A-Rex.
Oh, Rent-A-Rex?
Yeah, you ever heard of them?
No.
It's a rental car company that, well, they've now upgraded to nicer cars, but back in the day, they literally used to, like, have, like, 15, 20-year-old cars that were just pieces of crap that you could rent for nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah, Rent-A-Wreck, it sounds like a perfect sponsor for the drunk driving championships, and Lord knows I got to compete, so just missing a car, so I just need a ride.
I'm starting to get uncomfortable with this conversation. It sounds like we're having too much fun here. Drunk driving is bad, okay?
I'd settle for a demolition derby.
Hey, Bear, I want to talk a little NBA with you for a second, and this is a...
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know, it's scary.
I'm just going to... Hold on. Westchester and Bear are about to talk NBA.
Good rest of the afternoon.
Yeah, I just want to preface that. Continue.
Here we go.
You got a lot of show to make this up afterwards, so you'll be all right. Bear, you're talking about, why the NBA is allowing the Lakers to tank and to be so bad. I kind of got this little conspiracy theory thing that now that they've got LeBron in L.A., they want two L.A. teams. And the only way that's going to happen is if, obviously the Clippers are good. So they let LeBron go to L.A. because he's kind of at least they're portraying, like you said, him as a divert. I don't know. He's a pain. He's hard to play with. So that opens the door for everyone else who's good to go to the Clippers to make the Clippers good. So now that they got two teams in that market competing, yeah, that would be the best thing for the NBA, wouldn't it?
Probably, yeah, Westchester.
It's not too bad, is it?
No. I don't know if I buy your conspiracy theory, though. If they wanted the Lakers to be good, they would have let Anthony Davis go there.
I totally was not paying attention there. I just zoned out. I'm like, why in the hell is the X-Files theme playing?
Because he's talking about some grand conspiracy.
There. Right. I want to talk a little bit of all baseball, then I'll get out of here. I'm not going to repeat the same call I had on the other two shows. So best case scenario, Tennessee beats Auburn. Tennessee finds a way to beat Kandy. And they play probably Mississippi State in the next round. And somehow they either win or lose that game. And the NCAA calls Bill.
Hold on.
You know that was single elimination last night. You know we're done.
Right, I said if.
If what?
If the Vols beat Auburn in the single elimination.
We're not going to beat Auburn. It's over.
I know, but if.
If they had. Okay.
We would have played Kandy. And let's pretend like we could have won that game. We would have played the winner of State LSU, which is probably State. And let's just pretend that somehow we beat Mississippi State, which is, you know, after beating Mandy, anything's possible. But we probably don't have any pitching left. So let's just say I'm trying to get to a point where the point of this is get to a point where Tennessee gets a Fulmer gets a call on Monday from the NCAA and says, "Hey, we want you to bid on a regional." You think Phil's willing to cash out the money?
I have no idea.
You do have to bid on those. Those are not free.
That's what I've heard. I'm not sure how the process works. I mean, I would think so. I mean, I guess you would sit down and like budget it out and see like, you know, what the bid is versus what you would make back on it and whether or not it's worth it in the end. But
I just can't imagine a scenario where Fulmer, the battle captain, writes a check for to benefit baseball in any way, shape, or form. But
he's already done it.
Well, I know. He's right. That's what I'm saying. He's already done one. And so why would he pay for the regionals when they can go somewhere else? And I don't know. I guess, you know, what's more expensive, hosting or traveling? But I don't know.
You don't have to worry about it because we didn't beat Auburn.
It didn't happen.
So we're going on the road. So maybe we cross that bridge when we come to it next year. Westchester, thanks, man. We got to run. You're listening to The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Back with more right after this.
Shows like this, this is The Drive.
Trey Wallace hanging out with the boys here this afternoon on Fan Run Radio.
I'm having fun.
You have fun?
You like it? Behind the scenes, getting to know everything. See, I'm learning how you two go at each other and how Bill calls in.
You like our
and
vibe?
Thinks he's not pretty. Getting mad at Bear, but actually should be getting mad at Russ.
Yeah.
Russ is my Lex Luthor.
He's something all right.
Confusion is the name of the show here on The Drive. Trey Wallace hanging out with us here for another few minutes as we get set to wrap up. Trey, coming up in hour number two, we're going to kick around a Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. I know a lot of people have been obsessing over the anonymous coach's quote in Lindy's college football preview where a coach evidently said that it's going to take Jeremy Pruitt 5 years to rebuild the Vols. Of course, nobody wants to wait that long. Here's my question.
Yeah.
Let's assume, and I know this is a big assumption, let's assume that Jeremy Pruitt is going to get it done here. And by get it done, I mean he's going to get us back to the top of the East and take us to Atlanta and get the program back where we all want it, contending for championships on a pretty regular basis.
In what year?
That's my question. Oh. How long is it going to take?
Have we ever asked Coach Pruitt when we have him on?
We can ask him.
We can ask him the question.
We can ask him. I want to
know from Trey, though. It would kick this around the
I think in the next 3 years, Tennessee will play in an SEC title game.
In the next 3 years?
Yes. Next 3 years, they'll play in an SEC title game. They'll win the East.
With that being said, Russ, I can guarantee you I'll have Trey totally believe in the barometer in August.
Where are you at right now in terms of, like, do you have an official record prediction for the upcoming season?
7-5.
You got some work to do to get them up to 10-2.
Hell no!
By
Who
August,
said 10-2.
That's where the
I'll talk myself into it by the end
Bear,
of July.
You what in
every
the
year
world? No, there's no.
I'll get to 10-2, Trey. The hell I won't. I'll get to 10-2,
Tennessee
and I'll go
will
over.
Take care of their he's home non conference games.
He's not conceding a loss to Georgia.
No,
See, here's where it gets
the only one I think that's going to be hard for us to win is Alabama.
I think
that's the only game that's even going to be hard.
Well, no,
trade.
I'm going on a limb to start the season. I think Vanderbilt gives Georgia problems to start the season in Nashville.
What?
Yes. Vanderbilt has a good enough offense.
You feeling all right?
Yeah, I'm good. No, I'm not saying they're going to win.
You think they can
mark the tape?
You I'm think saying, they could cause some issues?
Yeah, I think they could cause some
Trey
issues.
Trey Wallace.
I think in three Trey years, Tennessee Georgia. Will be playing in Atlanta. If not, my dad's going to be extremely pissed off for having season tickets to the SEC championship game for the last 25 years and only being able to see Tennessee playing it three times.
Seems like a bad investment.
No, it's a good investment. He just bribes clients.
25 years, three trips, is that what it's been?
I mean, what, 2001?
Trey picks Vandy over Georgia. All right.
I didn't pick 2001, 97, 98.
97, 98, 01, 04, 07.
We didn't win it, though. We won.
Oh,
it.
That we won? Yeah, we've only won two.
Yeah, so it's two. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so we'll see.
I would take
That's
just
crazy
getting
that
there.
We've only won two.
I would take just getting there.
At this point yeah.
Bear, how long do you think it's going to take to get back to Atlanta, back to contention?
2 years from now.
So is that the same, basically what you're saying within 3 years?
No, same thing.
In the next 3 years? You think in the next 2 years, either this year or next year?
Yeah.
Yeah, not yet. I won't mind.
The brakes go our way. It's just a theory I've got, okay? I'll explain it to you. It's
Georgia's
a Remember
it
last
tough.
Year my
Florida's
hypothesis?
Got it tough.
I thought Trey was being pretty
– sheepy?
Pretty hopeful. I mean, I don't see it happening in the next 2 years. 5 years seems like I'll go.
He ain't got 5 years.
I'll split the difference between 5 years. I'll go with four.
If it's 5 years, then they're going to be selling tickets for $10 a piece in the next 2 years.
He'll be long gone.
You thought this whole $25 thing was crazy that they're selling tickets for? They'll be down to $10 a piece in years to come.
Trey,
you better start winning now.
Trey, it's good to see you, buddy. Yeah, thanks for sitting
guys.
In. Do it again tomorrow.
Do it again tomorrow. Then I look forward to starting up on Tuesday.
We're building him up to 3 hours a day. Trey Wallace,
he's
on the
acclimated.
Drive. He's getting acclimated. It's like when you're running what they go up to.
Yeah, like tomorrow we'll take some
base
tougher
camp.
Shots at you.
He's in base camp right now, getting used to the altitude.
This is day one, just warmed
take
up.
Some light jabs at him.
He's been sleeping in the hyperbaric chamber. All right. Stay with us. Hour number two of the drive coming up.